Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast. We give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened in the week in movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. Spoiler warning, if you've not watched the latest and greatest in nerd television and or movies, pause this podcast, go watch it, and join us again for the fun afterwards. Explicit content warning. This material may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages, so you have been warned. What up, what up, what up, my nerdy peeps?
All right.
What the hell?
We started at the same time, okay? How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Okay. So anyway, hello everybody. Welcome this week.
Wait. How are you doing? It doesn't matter how you're doing.
Okay. All right.
The Rock says so.
Well, he shouldn't have said that. That's not very nice.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Guys. San Diego Comic-Con was this weekend.
What?
So we have a lot of stuff to talk about.
You don't shit.
But in addition to that, our nephew also wanted us to tell you guys about the legendary Pokemon Go update thing. So there's like legendary Pokemon now in the Pokemon Go game, and we failed to catch an Articuno, but his mother caught one, so good for
right.
her.
So shout out to young Nicholas.
Yeah, young Nicholas. So how's your week been going? How's work been going? You know,
life has been great.
Oh, let's talk about this. All right. Because I know you're buzzing for it.
Am I?
You are.
What about
what? You are buzzing for our cosplay plans.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think we're going to give anything away right now, but you can tell them about the progress you've been making on your costume.
I made some doohickeys.
Some doohickeys. Yeah. So the question here is, are we debuting these at Stockton Con or SAC Anime?
SAC Anime.
So what are we doing for Stockton Con?
I didn't know we were going to Stockton Con.
Of course we're going to Stockton Con. You loved it last year. It's like your favorite thing ever.
Ever?
Well, maybe
not. I don't know about ever.
Okay, but
I do have a favorite thing.
We did like it. So I'm planning on going for sure.
I didn't know that we were going. This is all news to me, guys.
This is in a month from now, pretty much.
Oh, man.
So, got some time to prepare. We might just do, you know, Hogwarts students again, or just not cosplay because it's going to be hot. I'll get some shirts ordered and we'll just go represent Nerdy Boys Reviews. So,
what? Sounds dope.
If Scott ever tells me which logo he likes.
Hey, man.
So, all right then.
All right.
Anything else to talk about before we get in the news?
I'm awesome.
You're awesome. Yeah, he made some doohickeys. He made, like, a little symbol for his suit. He's got, like, most of, like, the parts planned out.
Right.
He'll probably order, like, the face part.
Dude.
But you have, like, the pants, the shirt, the boots.
Something like that.
All that figured out.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything figured out. But
yeah,
made
it's just assembling everything.
Done some painting.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean,
with my lovely assistant's help.
That wasn't me, if you're wondering.
No,
I'm not his lovely assistant.
No.
I'm a non-existent to him when his lovely assistant is around. So.
What?
But that's all right.
No.
All right, so we will start talking about the Comic-Con news then.
This is the NBR News, live from the NBR in-home studio. Christian, back to you.
Ah, thanks, mate. So, first bit of news. Infinity War co-director Joe Russo talks about the Black Order. So, if you guys remember from last week, we talked about how the Black Order had been revealed at D23. Well, now, Joe Russo has some things to say about it. They talked about it. Some of the footage from D23 Expo and there's the Marvel panel at San Diego Comic-Con. So they got to see a very small glimpse of Thanos' Black Order. Fans got a look at some statues from the film at D23, like I said, where there are four members of the Black Order on display. So Superhero Hype got a chance to chat with co-director Joe Russo about where the fifth member was and why he chose to bring these newer members of the Marvel Universe to the big screen. So if you're not familiar with Black Order, they're henchmen of Thanos who were introduced fairly recently in the Marvel Comics in 2013, New Avengers Volume 3, Number 8. The Black Order's members include Black Dwarf, Corvus Glaive, Ebony Maw, Proxima Midnight, and Supergiant. Supergiant, however, was missing in the look we got at D23. About including the Black Order, Russo told Superhero Hype, "We get inspired by a lot of different material when we're working on the movies. We pulled from both Infinity Runs for this. And look, there are a scary bunch of characters who I happen to think, when I read the Infinity Run, were super cool. And when I got the opportunity to make this movie, I said I have to do the Black Order. You know, we have so many characters and Thanos needs to be teased out. You can't have the characters challenging him every step of the way. There has to be characters that they have to go through to get to him." So, like, yeah, a boss battle, right?
You know, right, yeah.
Smaller bosses to get the bigger boss. He said the Black Order is the perfect cast of characters to do that run with. When asked about the missing Supergiant, he said one of them wasn't there. Again, we are dealing with so many characters that we made some choices along the way. Consolidation seems like a smart thing to my brother and I because they were starting to overlap each other. And frankly, when you see the movie, you'll understand it services the storytelling. We asked if the powers were sort of melding together. He said the power meld in... there's some missed typos here, something about a power meld. Frankly, we're altering their powers to things that I felt were better in the service of our storytelling, but also things that I think are cooler and things that I want to see. And again, as a comic book fan, as I read a book, I have my own ideas about what I would do with those characters, the same way that a writer would, the way any writer would when he takes on Spider-Man or Captain America. Everyone brings their own spin to it, so we brought our own spin to the Black Order, which I don't think is a problem, because let me tell you, most people probably don't know who they are. So,
yeah. What do you think about the Black Order?
I mean, I think they're pretty cool. Like, I really like the New Avengers run that they're referring to. I think that was a great run, and we talked about this probably 2 or 3 years ago. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast or just amongst ourselves, but we talked about, you know, this was the direction that they're going with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, was that new Avengers run. So I think they're pulling a lot from it, and I think it's going to work. I mean, the Black Order are pretty cool, and to me, this, like, reminds me of, like, the old Mortal Kombat games. Like, they had, like, that mode where you fought a different bunch of different people and then got to the top boss or whatever.
Well, yeah. So, but I wonder, like, and I do enjoy how, you know, Russo did mention that, you know, they're changing some aspects of their powers.
Yeah.
Because that's been a complaint, maybe not in movies, but, like, you know, video games, I guess, is something that if sometimes some of the underbosses are cooler or even seem stronger than the actual boss, like, yeah, that's a plot problem, and I'm glad that they're addressing that, and they're probably going to change their power levels to something that they seem like they're henchmen, essentially,
right?
That they're not quite so strong, but they do provide an annoyance towards the Avengers. Yeah, essentially.
I like that idea, and I also think, like what he was saying, it's very important that, like, they're not just fighting Thanos, like, every 10 minutes, you know, like, they have to go through other bosses and other people to get to him, so I like that idea. So good news coming out of there.
Right. So pretty much this is all going to be probably Comic-Con news, so. Michelle Pfeiffer and Lawrence Fishburne join Ant-Man and the Wasp. Marvel Studios announced today at Comic-Con that the legendary actor Michelle Pfeiffer from Dangerous Minds and The Wizard of Lies and Lawrence Fishburne from The Matrix Trilogy and John Wick 2 have joined the cast of Ant-Man and the Wasp. Pfeiffer will portray Janet Van Dyne, the wife of Michael Douglas's Hank Pym and the original Wasp. Fishburne will play Dr. Bill Foster, who in the comics is the assistant to both Tony Stark and Hank Pym, and who eventually takes Pym's giant man abilities and becomes known as Goliath. Both actors have strong comic book movie connections from the Distinguished Competition, with Pfeiffer famously having played Selina Kyle / Catwoman in Tim Burton's 1992 Batman Returns, and Fishburne taking on the role of Perry White in the 2013 Man of Steel, garbage, and 2016 Batman vs. Superman, shit. Pfeiffer will next be seen in the All-Star...
Agatha Christie.
Oh, Agatha Christie mystery murder on Orient Express, while Fishburne will lead the thrill in Imprisoned, opposite Edward James Olmos and Say Morales and John Hurd, and the latter of whom just passed away this week. I don't know what the hell that had to do with anything, but okay, yeah, I'm sorry. But
yeah. But yeah, I mean, these are big characters, right? Janet Van Dyne and Michelle Pfeiffer, who is my favorite Catwoman, personally.
Dude, Bill Foster, right? Like,
yeah.
Okay, how absurd now does it seem that now they're going to introduce Bill Foster after they do Civil War?
Well, Civil War...
infuriating is... I feel like that's so infuriating that they would do that. Like, the fact that they would... So, in case you guys don't know, Bill Foster, a.k.a. Goliath in the comics, is the character that Tony Stark created...
he created a
Beta Ray Bill. No, not Beta Ray Bill. I'm sorry.
Ragnarok.
Ragnarok. Sorry about that. I apologize.
him and Reed Richards.
Yes. Yes, they designed Ragnarok, which is like a clone of Thor, and they couldn't really control it during one of their battles, their skirmish, you know, Tony Stark versus Captain America, essentially, and Goliath is killed. Yeah. And it's like, it's a very pivotal turning point in this story, and like, it just makes me so angry that now they're going to come up with this character when it would have been like perfect to, or I don't know, like maybe like that they were trying to use like Brody as the Goliath, kind of, but
Brody,
it did.
James Rhodes?
Yeah. That's what I said.
You said Brody.
No, I said Rhodey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Continue.
But yeah, no. Like, it's just like aggravating to me. Like, maybe just because it wasn't like he wasn't well known in the universe or couldn't have been well known in the universe, so it wouldn't have like had the quite the impact that it did in the comics. But like,
there wouldn't be like that emotional connection to him.
Yeah, but it's just still annoying to me.
Well, I mean, the Civil War was very liberally adapted from the comics, so much so that a lot of people wouldn't even call it Civil War. But yeah, I mean, I guess the entire purpose of that was to split up the Avengers and, you know, for Infinity War and things like that. But yeah, I can understand your frustration with, you know, all of a sudden them introducing Goliath and, you know, not having him present for that or whatever. Because in the comic book, there was such a huge fallout from that, you know. I mean, that's what led to the fallout kind of with Peter Parker and Tony Stark. Sue Storm switched sides. There's so much that happened after that. And everybody started to kind of question what they were doing in a way, so.
Right.
Captain Marvel. Sorry, next bit of news. Captain Marvel reveals include 90s setting and villain. So Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige took the stage at San Diego Comic-Con's Hall H, which is the most important hall, guys, if you don't know, and offered some fresh new details about the upcoming Captain Marvel movie, confirming that Samuel L. Jackson's Nick Fury would appear and that he would actually have both of his eyes because the film is set in the early 1990s. Feige also confirmed that the Skrulls will be the main villain for the upcoming film.
What?
The 90s setting is very confusing to me.
Why? Why does it confuse you?
Just because we've had so... We've learned so much about the history of the MCU throughout the movies and whatever, and there's never been a mention of Carol Danvers or anything like that. Like, I don't understand why they set it in the 90s and not in present day. Like, what's she been doing for the past 30 years, 20, 30 years? Like,
well, I mean,
stasis or what?
Well, I mean, that's what we're going to learn.
Right.
I mean, that's just part of, like, the mystery behind it. Because, like, they can't just introduce a character and then all of a sudden she has this significant importance to everyone else. Like, they have to give her some sort of, like, context for the characters, for the story.
Does it bother you that the Skrulls are the villain and not, like, a bigger, like, villain? Like, because, I mean, those runs were, like, just like Civil War, huge event, Secret Invasion and whatever, where...
Well, I think maybe they're introducing it in order to set up for the Secret Invasion, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, look who's fucking with shit now.
So, all right. Well, fair enough.
So, Marvel's Runaway premiere date announced by Hulu. Hulu has announced that the Marvel's Runaway premiere date, along with an updated synopsis and cast for the 10-episode first season. The pilot wrapped up in March, and the first season will premiere on the streaming service Tuesday, November 21st, 2017.
Yay! Pretty exciting. All right. Are you excited for The Runaways?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like neither here nor there.
You've never read it, huh?
I know.
Yeah. If you read it, you'd be very excited, I think.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Comic-Con, Fargo's Noah Hawley developing a Doctor Doom movie to close out the Legion panel.
Boo!
At San Diego Comic-Con, series showrunner Noah Hawley left fans with one last tease unrelated to the FX series, but still in the Marvel realm, saying, "Because I'm at a Comic-Con, I wanted to let you know about a movie I'm developing for Fox. The first word is Doctor, and the second is Doom."
Boo, you piece of shit. Get off the stage.
So, Doctor Doom will be a Fox film, and this is canny upsetting because of the... Like, all right, what'd you think of the Doctor Doom from the original Fantastic Four movies?
The original ones?
Yeah.
I thought he was all right.
I thought it was pretty decent. Yeah. Like, I liked the guy who played him, at least.
Right.
But then the most recent ones was just absolute trash.
Yeah,
like
top to bottom.
I'm very concerned about what they're going to do, but...
Heaping pile of cow shit, that's what that was.
Yeah, but in other Fox movie news, Scott will tell you something that I know will excite him.
Ooh, I like being excited. Comic-Con news, Channing Tatum rethinking Gavin. Oh, yeah! After Deadpool and Logan. In early 2016, it was reported that rewrites on 20th Century Fox X-Men spinoff Gambit had forced production on the film and delayed its start... date now over a year later with no reported movement. Yahoo asked star Channing Tatum at Comic-Con for a status update. We got really lucky. We had a first draft. It was good, Tatum said, but we were coming to it at a time that the creative phase of the X-Men were these movies went through a bit of a paradigm shift where the X-Men movies and the superhero movies with Logan and Deadpool really broke down a lot of doors for us. We were trying to do something that we actually weren't allowed to do, and they smashed down the doors, so we're going to give it a bit of a rethink. As for whether that rethink involves turning Gavin into an R-rated film, Tanning says, we're not quite going there because I enjoyed Gambit as a kid, so I don't want to rule out a PG-13 rating.
Yeah. Sounds pretty good. I don't blame him. So what do you think of that news?
I'm excited. I love Gambit quite a lot. He's actually one of my favorite X-Men. So I really hope that they can kind of get that going. And you think about where he's from, right? He's like, you know, Ragin' Cajun.
New Orleans.
Yeah, from New Orleans. So there's got to be a lot of aspects to the movie, right? And like, you know, you if you know him like you know, as a character, he's like this kind of real smooth talker kind of guy,
yeah.
Where you know, I'm sure he gets quite a bit of women, so there'll probably be, you know, and then, you know, Channing Tatum being like eye candy for most like female audiences, you know, there'll be some sex scenes in there for sure with him.
Yeah.
With them exploding aspects, you know. So I see that's where I kind of feel like that he's talking about were things that maybe they weren't allowed to do before in a superhero sort of setting, but then here comes Logan and Deadpool and they just pretty much rewrote the rules to everything.
Yeah.
And kind of showed everyone that it's okay to do an R-rated thing, to do something different than what the superhero formula was up to this point. And I think with that being said, it does open for a much better Gambit movie.
Yeah. Just before we move on to some of the DC news, I wanted to go back to the Doctor Doom thing. What is the obsession with making like villain-based movies now? You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
Like, okay, so we have Venom now, Black Cat and Silver Sable, Suicide Squad, Doctor Doom. Like, Doctor Doom lends himself maybe more to a solo film because he has such a rich history. But, like, who is he going to fight against? Like, how are you going to make a villain? Like, I don't really understand the idea of making a villain movie, to be honest.
Right.
So, I don't
well,
know.
Well, I mean, because you think about it in the aspect of without the hero that it lends the villain to, like, the villain is not as important because they create villains in order to test a character's limits.
Yeah.
Right. And without the context of those limits, that villain becomes a lot less important to me.
Right. Like in, you know, unless they're going to be like a hero or something, like it doesn't make sense, you know? So I don't get it. But anyway, moving on to some DC news. Shazam set for next DC Films production, eyeing 2019 release date. So the Hollywood Reporter brings word that DC Films have set their sights on their next film production, and it will harness the wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Hercules, the stamina of Atlas, the power of Zeus, the courage of Achilles, and the speed of Mercury, which if you know, take the first letters of all names, it's an acronym for Shazam. Okay, we get it. Yes, the next DC Films movie will be Shazam! Exclamation point. Lights Out and Annabelle creation director David F. Sandberg is set to step behind the camera of the film, with Peter Safran set to produce. Jack the Giant Slayer describe Darren Lemke previously penned the script for Shazam, which also previously had an April 5th, 2019 release date, though it remains to be seen if it will hold that day because everything gets pushed back. Should the film arrive at that April, however, it will debut just a month before Marvel's untitled Avengers 4, so they'll probably put it, you know, another month forward or like 5 months back. Dwayne Johnson will not appear as the villain Black Adam in the film and is developing a solo film for the anti-hero as a separate project. Without Black Adam, the most well-known villain for the hero, there aren't many villains left for Shazam to tussle with. One potential replacement villain could be Dr. Savannah, who made his debut with the hero in Wiz Comics number 2 in 1940.
So how do you feel about, I mean, literally using his iconic villain? The one villain that, like, exactly.
Black Adam,
what the,
yeah. They
like,
they
when you say him. Shazam, you automatically think Black Adam, right? Like, am I mean, obviously, I guess, you know, not, like, you know, true comic book fans wouldn't really get that sort of thing. But when I think Shazam, you automatically think Black Adam.
Yeah, I mean.
Because literally, like, his costume is just, like, kind of, like, the reverse dark version of his, really.
Yeah, so. And when you think of. When you think of Dr. Savannah, you think more of like Superman, you know, or
yeah, maybe.
Or like other big DC heroes. Like I know he debuted in the same issue as Shazam, but I don't think of him as a Shazam villain as much. So
correct. I do think it is quite a mistake to not use Black Adam. I think I understand like where they're coming from though, because I think their potential for using The Rock as the Black Adam, they want to give him as much screen time as possible, and they can't give him as much screen time if it's not a movie about him.
Yeah.
So I think what they're kind of trying to lend themselves to is to give Black Adam that his own story to kind of develop him, and you get to get the full understanding, and you get that full screen time of just, you know, Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, there's also, like, rumors that he was not doing the project anymore. He didn't want to be Black Adam anymore, things like that. So they might run into complications with scheduling conflicts and things like that. So DC, I mean, they might just need to take their time to get things figured out so they stop being so dysfunctional. So
right. Ben Affleck out as Batman? Question mark. Warner Brothers eyes replacing him, with Matt Reeves replacing Ben Affleck as the director of Batman, and recently revealing he'd toss out Affleck and Geoff Johns' script. Many fans were wondering when Affleck himself might jump ship from the role. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Warner Brothers Pictures is mulling over that very thing, with an eye towards replacing Affleck as Bruce Wayne / Batman in the upcoming DC's extended universe movie, very likely The Batman. While Affleck will reprise his role in the upcoming Justice League, his third time at bat after Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, and Suicide Squad, either the studio or the actor himself, or both, are not happy with the way the DC movies are shaping up. It could also be a simple case of ageism, and nearly 45-year-old Affleck, far older than any of his fellow Justice Leaguers. Zack Snyder envisioned the iteration of The Dark Knight as the older, battle-hardened Batman who had been beating up criminals in Gotham City for years by the time we catch up to him. Snyder has now exited the DC Universe, with Josh Whedon taking over extensive reshoots in the Justice League before filming his own Batgirl. Within the next year or two, the Batman is being eyed as the first in the potential trilogy. So, if Affleck was getting cold feet about the role, it would definitely be a good idea for him to step out before first one shoots. However, the studio current line is Affleck is still all in, and with the studio chief Toby Emmerich saying, Ben is our Batman. We love him as Batman. We want him to keep him in the cow as long as we can. Harsh shit.
Oh, you and I both quite like him as Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, I like him as Batman, not quite as Bruce Wayne. Right. Because we you figure, right, the Batman movies will be an earlier version of him, which, you know, they bring up a very, very good point. Like, he's 45 years old. Makeup can only do so much to make you look that much younger.
Right, and, you know, he... Yeah, there can be... There can definitely be issues there that need to be sorted, but I quite like him as Batman, and yes, I don't like him as much as Bruce Wayne. So, we'll see what happens there. Jesus Christ, I'm just typing in the wrong things here, guys. But yeah, I hope he sticks around, and I'll get to in a second. You know, or you will actually read the article where he kind of has his response to that.
Right.
So, upcoming DC animated movies announced at Comic-Con. Warner Brothers Animation, DC Entertainment, and Warner Brothers Home Entertainment announced last night at Comic-Con, at the Comic-Con premiere, Batman and Harley Quinn, that upcoming DC animated movies will include Death of Superman adaption, which will be released as two separate feature-length films in 2018, or starting in 2018. So, first out of the gate, however, will be Batman Gotham by Gaslight, an adaptation of the popular 1989 tale that introduced the Victorian-era Dark Knight who was in pursuit of Jack the Ripper. Written by Brian Augustine and drawn by Mike Mignola of Hellboy fame, Batman Gotham by Gaslight is largely considered to be the very first Elseworlds tale. At 48 pages, the original comic is relatively slim, meaning the movie version will offer an expanded version of the story, something that's sure to delight fans of its cobblestone-paved world. So let's talk about this before we get into the other ones. What do you think of the idea of, you know, the, like, a 1700s Batman chasing down Jack the Ripper?
I feel really excited about that. Yeah.
Very detective oriented, which is something like we know about Batman, but they haven't done so much of, you know, in film and things. So.
Right. No, no. I feel really excited about it. Just because it lends itself more to the true, like you said, detective nature of the comic books, and it's something very different, and it seems so much more fun.
Yeah, definitely. So that will be followed in the spring by Suicide Squad: Hell to Pay, the first Suicide Squad movie set within the DC Universe original movie's shared continuity. So Batman: Assault on Arkham, the 2014 movie that also featured the Suicide Squad, was set within the Arkham video game continuity. Hell to Pay will feature an original story and what's promised to be an amazing voice cast, which should be good. So set in the same world as their movies, their regular movies, could be good, could be interesting.
Right. No, yeah. So I think it should be fairly interesting. See how that plays out.
Yeah, rounding out the 2018 releases will be Death of Superman, the first part of the two-parter, adapting the legendary story of Superman's fatal battle with Doomsday, that was ruined in 2016's BBS. This will actually be the second DC Universe original movie to adapt the material. The first, 2007 Superman Doomsday, was the very first DC Universe original movie and greatly condensed and altered the original comic book event to fit within its 75-minute running time. The upcoming adaptation will be more faithful to the source material, much less condensed, and will include many of the fan-favorite moments from the story that were left out of Doomsday.
There's fan-favorite moments.
Of the death of Superman?
Yeah.
I'm sure there were. You don't have any? None spring to mind?
No.
Yeah. So, finally...
It wasn't earned. They should...
Oh, no. They're talking about the comic book. The comic book version of Death of Superman, you know?
Yes. Oh, yes. I mean, the comic, obviously.
Yeah.
I was just talking about the movie.
No. No, they're talking about the... they're talking about the Doomsday movie, the Superman Doomsday movie. Uh-huh. That left a lot of stuff out from the comic book run, so now they're doing a faithful adaptation to the comic book run of Death of Superman.
Yes.
So, finally, in early 2019, look for Reign of Superman, the second part of the two-part adaptation. We'll be seeing the rise of Superman, of the Superman alternates that took his place during the year after his death, including Steel, Cyborg, Superman, Superboy, and the Last Son of Krypton. This part of the death of... and Return of Superman was greatly simplified in Doomsday, which instead featured a single alternate Superman rather than the four we saw in the comics. So pretty exciting news about that. Just a piece of news that I didn't pull because we have no dates, but I'm just going to read to you the DCEU slate as we move forward. So we have Justice League, Aquaman, Shazam, Suicide Squad 2, The Batman, all those we knew about. We also knew that they were working on Justice League Dark, Batgirl, and Green Lantern Corps, and Wonder Woman 2, but the big one, I guess, would be the Flashpoint. We didn't know it was going to be Flashpoint. People are very excited about Jeffrey Dean Morgan being Thomas Wayne Batman for that. So what are your thoughts on doing Flashpoint? Are you nervous?
Yes. Oh, yes. Obviously, I'm nervous. Like I said, it's just another storyline that they haven't earned. Why are they going into, like, the biggest storylines possible, or some of the biggest storylines possible, when they haven't even established the characters the right way?
Right.
Like, are you fucking kidding me?
You're doing a Justice League movie before you've even cast a Green Lantern.
Right. Great job. Well done, everyone. And you guys still don't have a Green Arrow. Good job.
Yeah. I mean, their universe, I think they really want to catch up to Marvel, but, like, guys, let's be honest. You started 5 years after them with Man of Steel and then waited 3 years to put out another movie.
Like, yeah. They're doing it all wrong, man. I just hope that Josh Whedon can talk some sense into them.
Yeah.
And hopefully that he's directly involved with that Flashpoint. Like, because if anybody else does it, I feel like I just won't even want to really watch it, because I'll just be so angry that, messed it up. I mean, that's where it's going to go. It's going to get messed up for sure. There's no doubt in my mind.
And if that's the first Flash movie, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no context of the character or anything. Good job, mate. I mean, at least the show waited 3 years so they could develop Barry Allen as a character in order to try and attempt the Flashpoint.
Well, yeah, 2 years, but...
Well, 3 seasons. Into the third season?
Well, yeah, the beginning of the third season was, was Flashpoint.
Talking about Josh Whedon, Batgirl's start date and Wonder Woman 2 script news and Affleck on Batman. Writer and director Josh Whedon from Marvel's The Avengers, and, you know, apparently he was part of nothing else, is currently hard at work finishing extensive reshoots on the Warner Brothers Pictures Justice League for its November release. But after that, he will bring Batgirl to the big screen in her own solo movie. Now DC Films co-chairman Geoff Johns has announced a Batgirl start date for when Whedon will begin production, and has updated the current status of Wonder Woman 2. Batman is more than just Batman, Johns confirmed in IGN. It's been way too long since we've had an expansive universe. We are doing Batgirl with Josh Whedon. It's going to be super exciting, and he is going to have to and he's going to start next year. That's just the start. We want to explore the Batman universe in a big new way. So there you have it. Whedon will begin production on Batgirl in 2018. It has also been announced that Ben Affleck at Comic-Con that despite yesterday's rumor to the contrary, the actor plans on keeping playing Batman, the Batman role for a long time to come, including Matt Reeves's The Batman movie. Let me be clear, says Affleck, Batman is the greatest fucking part of the world. Is the greatest part in the world, sorry. I'm thrilled to do it. He went on to say that he'd been an ape in the background for Matt Reeves, so that sounds like a solid confirmation. I don't even get what the hell that even means.
He's saying he'd be an ape in the Planet of the Apes movie for Matt Reeves.
Oh, okay. Means that he loves Matt Reeves. Okay, I understand that. Okay, next, Johns confirmed that he's writing a script for Wonder Woman sequel with input from director Patty Jenkins. Johns' uncredited work on the screenplay for the first solo movie, I'm working right now on the Wonder Woman 2 script, Johns told Yahoo Movies. I just started. Okay.
All right.
Cool. Right.
There's a question.
Sorry. I read the next headline.
Oh, you got very excited. You're hoping it would say something else.
Yeah, I know, right? So what do you think the level of involvement with the rest of these movies with Joss Whedon, because they misreported in the other article that I read before, saying that, what's his face?
Zack Snyder.
Yeah, Zack Snyder stepped away. You know, they made it, like, the way they worded it is, like, it sounds like he'll never, ever be back, which is untrue. He's just, right now, he's just, like, going through the grieving process because his daughter died.
Yeah.
And basically, he's taking a step back, spending time with his family, trying to heal. And Joss Whedon is going to be the interim man for now. I mean, that it remains to be seen whether or not they'll make him, you know.
Yeah, we don't know if he's just taking Snyder's, you know, responsibilities from the Justice League movie or for the DC universe as a whole.
So with that being said, right, because I felt the need to clear that up. What do you think his role is going to be, like, the long-term basis? Like, if he was involved with, you know, the expansive Batman universe, would that make you more excited for that stuff?
Well, definitely it would, but I think he'll be mostly involved in Batgirl, obviously, because he's writing it, but he's going to be doing Justice League and Justice League 2, so what I think we can expect from Joss Whedon is his fingers in all of the different pots, because if he's doing the Justice League movie, he needs to have his say or understand what's going on in the other solo films where these characters exist. So I think he'll definitely, you know, in Avengers 2, try to tie in Batgirl. Did I say Avengers? I meant Justice League 2. I mean, I think he'll do everything he can to influence their world. So,
right.
Which is exciting. So here's Scott's article. Tom Welling is going to be joining Lucifer season 3. If you guys don't know, Tom Welling was from Smallville. He played a little character, a pretty minor character known as Clark Kent.
Who's that guy?
Who lived in Kansas, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, unfortunately, he's not playing Superman in Supergirl, but he will be in season 3 of Lucifer. He'll be playing a character by the name of Marcus Pierce, an accomplished police lieutenant who is everything Lucifer is not, strategic, reserved, and well-respected, but perhaps even more annoying are all the things they have in common. Both men are charming, charismatic, and handsome as hell. So when Pierce starts developing a connection with Chloe Decker, Lucifer's devilish traits are inflamed.
Oh, boy.
And I know you really like Lucifer. Like the show. We just haven't talked about it, you know, obviously, because there's not a whole lot to talk about, but we'll be enjoying season 3 of Lucifer.
Absolutely. Todd McFarlane teams with Blumhouse for Spawn reboot. What? For years now, the prospect of a Spawn reboot has made the rounds in movie news, but the character creator, Todd McFarlane, has now taken to Facebook to officially announce that the film is coming and it has big guns behind him. Todd McFarlane and his entertainment division, McFarlane Films, is partnering with Jason Blum and Blumhouse Productions, the producing force behind his recent hits Get Out, Split, and The Purge franchise, to develop a feature film around the Spawn comic character created by McFarlane and published by Image Comics. McFarlane has written the first draft of the screenplay and is set to make his directorial debut in his dark exploration of one of the comic's most popular characters. Having worked with many visionaries directors, I think Todd's unique artistic talents will only add to his role as the director of his film, Blum said. McFarlane said, "We've gone from theoretical to now we're making the movie. Blumhouse Spawn, badass, get ready for it. We're going into production. No more talking. It is time to do it."
Yeah. And we did have a previous article where he said, like, you know, Deadpool and Logan have nothing on the violence and blood and gore and stuff that's going to be in this movie. So I look forward to it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, when Spawn came out, it was, like, so cutting edge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not quite sure that comics had quite seen anything like that. And it's just, and just due to the nature of Spawn, it just led itself to, like, an occult following of sorts, and just like, well-known character, yeah, like that. I'm very excited. And, like, you know, the old Spawn movies from, like, the 90s, like, got, like, a bunch of flack or whatever from it, but, like, I thought it was a pretty good movie back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but
I mean, and it was one of the first big independent comics to really make it to the mainstream.
Right. And yeah, exactly.
That is unbelievable. But you have to remember, it's Todd McFarlane. He reinvigorated Spider-Man in the 80s. He helped create Venom. Like, he did a lot of great things for comics, and a Venom is kind of just like Spawn, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. And then for him to now spearhead, I'm excited that he, well, obviously, you know, the creator of the character, I'm excited that he's actually the director, because who better to direct a movie than the person, the creator, who can understand the character better than him?
Right.
You know, and like, I think that's something that needs to be done way more often in these films. You know, really get, and this, I mean, I'm not doing it just to take shots at DC, but this is, in my opinion, something where I can sit there and be like, you guys need to take notes from this. Like,
right.
Why are you guys having somebody that obviously blatantly just doesn't understand these characters, right? And I think I can't wait for this movie. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, like, so where the line kind of is with the movies is like, get the characters right, do your own story if you want. As long as the characters are right, people will enjoy it, you know? Like, and then where it becomes too much, I think, for Scott, for sure, is when you take these big comic book events and you call these movies, name them after them, and then, you know, just change it completely. You know, he doesn't like that kind of adaption. But right. If you're just making, you know, Captain America 3, like, and just calling it Captain America 3 and then doing that movie, I don't think you would have had nearly the problem with it that you right. did. But because they call it Civil War, and it's not.
Yeah, it was, you know, like, clearly different.
The characters are pretty spot on still, but not, you know, the story isn't what you expected. So then you're going to come out disappointed. But
right.
That wraps up the news we have. There are so many trailers. We will be doing some reaction videos to most of them, so stay tuned for that. There were, for all of our shows, there were trailers, so Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, Legends, and Gotham, which we still don't know if we're going to talk about next season necessarily, but, you know, we'll still figure it out. I don't know if we'll do reaction videos to those. We might talk about them on a different podcast, or, you right. know, whatever. So, is there anything else you wanted to talk about on this podcast? Anything you wanted to see at Comic-Con that wasn't there? Maybe some Deadpool stuff or New Mutants or whatever.
Yeah, I was hoping for some more Deadpool stuff. You know, on Deadpool 2. I think I was like just right around the corner. Fortunately, we didn't get that. But, you know, I have faith in what can be accomplished through Deadpool, you know, based off the first one.
Yeah.
You, like you said, we have lots of trailers to kind of siphon through, and we'll get reaction videos. Kind of, we'll get them being produced this week. Now that, in case you guys missed some of our last podcast, Christian is he got a new job and he is now working in Sacramento instead of the Bay Area. And you know, in case you also didn't know, we're also roommates, so the ability to do more podcasts throughout the week, more YouTube content is now a possibility, and we're hoping to get some more stuff out soon.
Yeah, it is hard to promise anything for sure because we do both work. You know, Scott sometimes works late hours. You know, we can be tired. We can, you know, have to make dinner and do all these other things. So there's possibilities that we won't have time to do things during the week as well, but we will definitely make an effort to do it. So yeah, please also stay tuned for our other podcast. We're going to be doing talking about the first episode of Game of Thrones season 7 that premiered last week, and we'll try to keep up on those every week.
Correcto.
So that, I think, will wrap us up for this week. Thank you for sticking with us. If you have any questions, please get in contact with us. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at nerdyboysreviews.com. All of those at nerdyboysreviews. You can find our podcast. I mean, if you're listening to it, you know where it is, obviously. But tell your friends about it. Tell them, you know, hey, you guys don't have the podcast app through iTunes? Google Play Store. You can download the Stitcher app. Download a whole bunch of other apps. We're everywhere. Just find us, okay? Look up Nerdy Boys Reviews and you'll find us.
Right. And then when you guys do, make sure that you guys rate and, you know, leave some feedback for us, good or bad. It's all beneficial to us.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yep.
To watch all of our reaction videos. You'll be updated when we post them. So that can be neat as well.
Well, yes. As long as you enable the bell notification, you will get direct notifications when we upload. So make sure that you do enable. It's like a little bell symbol. You'll see it next to the subscribe button.
Yeah. So that is everything we have for you guys. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And as always, stay nerdy, boys.